Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now celebrating 5 years of burning up the airwaves.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
You're listening to the voice of small business.
This is Dr. Fraser Crane. I'm listening.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm glad you're here. 800-531-3815, toll free, coast to coast. I'm happy to say that Pia Arrhenius is with us. Pia is an old friend of ours. She's been on the show many times before. She's in the research division of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. And one of the things that she studies quite often is the immigration issue that we have, that many of us are been reading about a lot lately, and we're going to talk about that today. Pia, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back, as always. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Pia, recently in the news, there have been some coverage of the demographic makeup of the American population, especially with regard to minorities, the increased percentages of minorities in our population, as well as the increase in foreign-born population in America. Talk to us about some of the things that you've been working on.
Yeah, it's interesting. We had two interesting reports come out in the last month or so, and one is by the Census Bureau on the immigrant population, or the foreign-born population, as they call it. Another one is from the INS about the illegal immigrant population. So both of those have been really interesting. And I think probably the census study on the foreign-born population was covered more in the media because the finding that we have a record level of immigrants in the U.S. population was, you know, obviously very interesting. So we're up to, according to the census study, 32.5 million immigrants live in the United States, mm-hmm. and that's about 11.5% of the population.
Hmm. That's very interesting. And is that, where has that been? What's the level? What is that up from?
It's up from...
Remember?
Well, it's up from really what happened is at the turn of the century, we had massive immigration that...
Turn of the 20th century.
Yeah, that's... Uh-huh. Sorry. yeah, that's right. I still say that. So, yeah, at the turn of the 20th century, we had record levels of immigration, but, of course, the levels don't compare to now. But as a percentage of the population, because our population was so small back then, mm-hmm. We reached 15% of the population at one point in time was foreign-born.
Uh-huh.
Now we're up to about 11.5%. But in level terms, you know, it's a record number of immigrants living in the U.S.
Right. And here's the breakdown. I thought this report, folks. And Pia, can they go to your site or to the Commerce Department and get this report?
Get it off the U.S. Census Bureau website.
All right, and is that censusbureau.com or?
I think it's.
We'll find it, folks.
Census.gov.
Wouldn't it? We'll find that for you before the show's out. But this is a very interesting report, and the graphs in this report are very easy to see and very dramatic graphs. And one of them, right there on the front page of the one that you sent me, Pia, talks about the foreign-born population, how they break down. 52.5% are from Latin America.
Yeah, I guess that's not surprising to a lot of people.
Probably
although it's more than half of all immigrants in the U.S. are from Latin America. And, of course, a good chunk of those, probably about a third, are from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the INS report about the illegal immigrants showed that about two-thirds of illegal immigrants are from Mexico, which they had not been saying before. They'd been saying for years about 45% were from Mexico, but
right.
Now they discovered that it's really a lot more. So I think for many years the government has been underestimating both the immigrant and the legal and illegal immigrant populations.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us some things that we need to know about these folks.
Well, I just think it's important because if we've been underestimating in general throughout the 1990s in particular and up to now, up until the 2000 census, really, the size of the immigrant population, that just means that we're underestimating both the contribution and maybe some of the costs of having immigrants in the country. Mm-hmm. But one thing that we've discovered with these new numbers is that they're making up between, depending on the year, between 25 to 50% of the growth in the workforce. So in terms of your audience, I mean, I think that would be a really interesting observation, probably something mm-hmm. they're already familiar with when they're looking for people to hire, is that 25 to 50% of the growth in the workforce is due to immigrants.
Absolutely. Yeah, and by the way, folks, that website is just simply census, CENSUS.gov. That's where you can go to that website if you want to get this. And I haven't found the report yet on the page, but we'll find it, and I'll try to orient you around it, because I really think this is information that you can use, that will help you to do some marketing strategy, that will help you to understand the likelihood of who you're going to be hiring over the next few years. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Pia Arrhenius. She's with the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. It's 20 till. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. I want to tell you about a couple of more websites. One of them is the one that belongs to the organization that Pia Arrhenius works for. Pia is our guest, and she's with the Research Department of the Dallas Federal Reserve Bank. And I'd like to recommend that you go to their website, and that's dallasfed.org, and check it out and order their annual report, folks. This is a document that I think will help you in your business. It's helped me in mine. This is not an annual report like you're thinking of, and certainly if you're thinking of a starched up, dusty Fed report, this is not it. It's dynamite, as Pia knows. Mike Cox and his group do a good job of that, and I'm sure, Pia, you contribute a lot to that. So I want you to check that out. And also, Pia, I want to take them to where they can get this report from the Census Bureau.
Uh-huh.
Folks, go to census.gov. And this is the quickest way I found. Go to census.gov. Then go over to the left. There's a subject A to Z. It's like a search engine. Click on the F. When you click on the F, go down, scroll down a little bit to where it says foreign-born population data. Now, the name of this report is the foreign-born population in the United States for 2002. So you click on that, then you click on reports, and that'll take you to the report that says foreign-born population 2002. They've got a whole bunch of them there. You can go all the way back to 94, but click on the 2002, and that'll take you to a page where you can download the PDF, which is what Pia sent me. And it's just a few clicks there, but I'll tell you, Pia, this is pretty impressive stuff, and it tells me that 52% of the foreign-born people in America are Latin Americans, and that so it gives me an idea as an employer who my customers are going to be. I need to make sure maybe it means that I need to be focusing some marketing on that segment of the population.
I mean, I think that's true, Jim, and also for another important reason. For years and years, immigrants, especially immigrants from Latin America, were very concentrated in what we call ethnic enclaves in certain cities in the U.S., and, mm-hmm. and sort of they, you know, the great majority of them were there. What we saw in the 1990s is we had a lot of growth in areas which didn't previously have a lot of immigration, and so we had immigrants showing up, the fastest growing immigrant populations actually, you know, in the South, where we hadn't had a lot of immigrants.
Right.
So two of the fastest-growing immigrant populations were in North Carolina and Georgia in the 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're spreading out from their traditional centers of Los Angeles and Houston and New York to the Midwest and to the South, where previously we didn't have a lot of immigrants.
Well, and if you look, and there's on page two of this report that we were talking about, there's a bar chart there that shows you exactly how many are living and where they're living and how that compares to how many what the relationship is to the number of native-born people in those areas.
Yeah, that's right. It's interesting. Of course, immigrants are disproportionately concentrated in the West. You can
mm-hmm.
see there
mm-hmm.
about almost 40%, well, 38% of immigrants are in the West, Western United States,
mm-hmm.
whereas only about 21% of natives are in the Western United States. So there's so that's an interesting statistic. But what that graph doesn't capture is where it's been growing the most rapidly.
Right, which is the South.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's right.
Another thing over on page three of that report, Pia, is This is two of the most dramatic charts I've ever seen about immigration. It shows the ages by range age, by 30 to 34, 35, 39, et cetera, every a five-year a breakdown. And it shows how that breaks down for the native population as opposed to the foreign-born. And the foreign-born are very heavily weighted in the young and the middle-aged, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. Immigrants are typically younger than natives on average. And what you see in this graph is that they're also disproportionately, they're more likely to be in their prime working age.
So if you have products or services that are focused on older people, you probably wouldn't want to focus that on foreign-born people. But if you have products that middle-aged and younger people would use, then maybe that would be something you definitely would want to focus on.
Yeah,
to attract those customers.
The age group 20 to 40, yeah, is overwhelmingly is a lot more heavily immigrant.
But it also means that more of those people are going to be knocking on your door wanting a job, doesn't it?
Yes, that's right. They are prime working age. They are their labor force participation rates are quite high as well. So, and especially after the 96 welfare reforms, you know, there's very little public aid for immigrants, even legal immigrants. So disproportionately, they do participate in the labor force.
What about their skill sets? What about their abilities?
Yeah,
what do we know about that?
That's tricky. You know, we are drawing. The United States draws basically two types of immigrants, one very low educated and one type very high educated. So we're drawing from the two extremes, which just basically means that what we have is we have a fairly plentiful native labor force in terms of middle range of skills, so say high school graduates and college graduates, whereas we're pulling immigrants in the area of those with graduate degrees, master's and PhDs, and we're pulling disproportionately those that are high school dropouts. And the report here talks a little bit about that and shows, you know, that almost a third of immigrants are high school dropouts. And that's, you know, that's tricky. It is a labor force that obviously these people are working, so there are jobs for them. But
well,
there are other problems associated with that.
One of the things that I see happening is I see that group that you were just mentioning filling a lot of the jobs that a lot of Americans don't want to do anymore. A lot of native-born Americans don't want to do anymore. The landscaping and the bricklaying and things like that.
That's very true.
They're really filling a very useful niche. I mean, they're coming into an area where we really need them in a lot of ways, and we need to be thinking more about that. We're going to talk some more about this with our good friend Pierre Arrhenius right after these messages. It's 10 till.
Go ahead. You can keep talking.
We're sorry. We're experiencing some technical difficulties. We are working feverishly to correct the situation. Please stand by.
With our good friend Pia Arrhenius. She's with the Dallas Federal Reserve Bank, the research division there. Pia, we're talking about immigration, folks. We're talking about what the role of the impact of all these foreign-born individuals are having on us. Pia, what about the legal versus illegal aspect of this? How many of the
of the 52 million, I shouldn't say, no, actually 32 million foreign-born people who are living in America, how many of those are illegal?
Yeah, I'm glad you bring that up, Jim, because actually of those 32 million that are counted in this report, probably not all the illegal immigrants are counted in there, because this is based on a telephone survey, and as you can imagine, you're not likely to pick up the entire undocumented population by calling them on the phone.
Right.
So I think actually the real number of immigrants in this country is probably a little bit higher than that, because we think we have about between 7 and 8.5 million illegal immigrants,
mm-hmm.
only of which about, I would say, a third of those may be captured in this report or in this survey that the Census Bureau does every year.
Maybe captured isn't the best word to use, though.
That's right. Yeah, not measured, maybe. But good point. But, yeah, so probably the real number of immigrants in the U.S., when you include the illegals, is probably closer to 36 or 37 million.
Yeah. I see what you mean. They're probably not included in this group. All right, what are some other things? I know you've been working on some things with regard to this segment of our population. What are some other things that we need to know about them?
Well, I just thought it was interesting. I mean, for us, those of us who research immigration, 9/11 was a big change with the terrorist attacks on 9/11. Because I don't know if you remember at that time after Bush became president, you know, we were discussing a guest worker program with Mexico, which would have radically changed the way that we do immigration in this country. And for us who do research in this area, it was such an interesting time. You know, we were moving towards really more open borders.
That's when Mr. Fox and Mr. Bush had a good relationship.
They did. Yeah. They had a very good relationship, which just seems to have gone down the tube since then.
The bloom's off that rose, isn't it?
It is. It certainly is. But when 9/11 happened, you know, it was you know, depressing for those of us who were looking forward to it. But obviously, these are necessary changes. So what we've seen is a dramatic decline in the growth rate of immigration, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We increased, you know, between 2000 and 2001, we had about a 1.8 million increase in the number of immigrants. But between 2001 and 2002, we only had about a 0.7 net increase, 0.7, so 700,000 net increase in the population of immigrants in this country. So less than 50% of the growth rate of the previous year. And if you look at illegal immigration, it really drops off precipitously after September 11th.
Of course, part of the reason for that is if there's not as much business opportunity for a job here, then they're not coming in as much, especially legally and illegally.
That's exactly right, Jim, because it's so interesting. Just even when the recession starts, even the decline in immigration starts at the beginning of 2000, actually. It's almost, you know, almost a leading indicator of the business cycle is especially illegal immigrants who don't have to wait for the INS to process any of their visas.
Right.
If you just look at the apprehension statistics at the border, you can tell it's just so correlated with the business cycle.
Well, and we're also probably getting a little bit better, putting a little more focus on that, too, under the circumstances. Pia, that's going to have to be the last word. Great job today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure.
Pia Arrhenius, ladies and gentlemen. She's in the research division of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, and that's DallasFed.org, DallasFed.org. Check it out. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and every member of our military standing a post around the world on our behalf. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.